Welcome to the Wager Makers Podcast with Webb and Schmidt.
Brick by brick, baby. I'm freaking out, Webb.
I'm told there'd be no man.
Stupidity is going to be an asset.
What a bunch of crybabies.
Hello, my name is Steve Smith, and this is Rob Weber. Say hey, Webb.
Hello, hello. What's up, Smith?
What's up, buddy? I'm Smith, that's Webb, and we are the Wager Makers, and this is the Wager Maker Podcast. Thank you all for joining us. Webb, this is Wager Maker Podcast number 37.
37, Smith. Time flies. It's a tough number, too. I had to do some digging, some research. Came up with Doak Walker and Dave Steeb. I'm sure you probably saw the same thing.
Yeah, that's when I looked. But even Scott Wheatley helped us out on this a little bit, too. I mean, for New Orleans Saints fans, there's a number 37 out there that's very important, but not necessarily Hall of Fame quality. But the man, Steve Gleason, he did the block punt heard around there. The world down here, did all kinds of stuff for ALS. He just recently got the Congressional Medal of Honor, Medal of Freedom, something like that. Unbelievable guy, great family, all that kind of stuff, done a lot. I mean, obviously with ALS, it's the Lou Gehrig's disease. And really doing incredible things with that and just showing his strength. No white flags, man. No white flags, Webb. No white flags. That's his deal. So, Gleason, I'm gonna go with Gleason, and my boy Scott Wheatley kind of, put in his honorable mention for, Steve Gleason on this one. So 37. Doak Walker, too old for me. Dave Steeb, I can only go so far with a Toronto pitcher. He was a good pitcher. Good gritty pitcher.
I'll give you a James Washington. I think he might have been a Super Bowl MVP for the Cowboys in like 96. He was a safety. Number 37.
You
know, back in the glory
days.
I'll
take for your word for it. I just know that one of the greatest days of my life in the dome, the day the Saints came back after Katrina and Gleason got that block punt. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Coming right
in. Gleason got that block punt against the Falcons. So that was a big day. So. All right, so number 37. I was trying to think, Webb. So we're trying to set up this the number one fan competition. We have Mike Lynch, Nick Perrone, and Chad Arnold. We're gonna try and set that up for next week. So you got to listen to today's shows. I know the guys. I've been talking to some of them.
No Garjul.
Well, we'll get Garjul in too. I don't know if Garjul has been listening as much as he did in the beginning. Yeah. I don't know. I'll reach out to him and see. I know Brad Bohannon listens to all the shows, but I don't know if he's into being the intern. He's a busy man. He's not interested in an intern position.
We got a little another twist to it, right? You can name your own title. You could be CIO. You could be CEO. Whatever you want. You can.
Yeah, producer. You can be the producer. The pay. The pay is the same,
and the work is the same. But you could get whatever you want to be. We'll get, you know, he can do your business card, but me and Smith will sign off on any title you want to do.
Right. I like the intern.
All right.
Well, they get to sign you up. They get to hook you up on social media too. So that'll be pretty fun.
They could sign off.
They can even be you on social media.
That's right.
Be you. Exactly. They can chime in on your and be you. So next week hopefully we have Chad and Mike and Nick on here. That's gonna be a lot of fun. We got to do quick questions. So make sure, like, I know Mike has been listening to old shows. Nick mentioned the other day listened to some old shows. I know Chad's been brushing up. So these guys are getting serious about this competition. They want to get this intern spot.
It's a big deal. That's some serious bragging
right. It'll be the first, other than the two of us, as a regular contributor to the show.
There you go.
We already have our buddy Scott Wheatley. He's no intern though. He's just a picker of the horse racing, and he's kicking ass. He's kicking ass in the Kentucky Derby stuff. So we're gonna have him on pretty soon to talk a little bit about Kentucky Derby coming up. In the news this week, Webb, I mean, obviously, first I want to apologize. We're a little late getting these shows out this last couple weeks. Mardi Gras finally over here in New Orleans. It's been a rough couple weeks here. Ash Wednesday, I'm feeling a little rough, feeling a little tired. So we're trying to crank it up and get this show going for you today. We want to make sure we got one out there. We were going to do one Saturday, but, man, shit comes up. I tell you, I buy more toilet bowls in a month than most people do in a lifetime. And I had to get up early Saturday morning. And instead of doing a show, I had to get a couple toilet bowls.
That's got to be the bane of the bar business right there. Toilet bowls and shit and crap. You got to need a hazmat. How many hazmat suits?
I bought a lot of toilet bowls in my deck.
Yeah.
So, got to keep it going. Got to keep it going.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
So Mardi Gras over. Happy Ash Wednesday. Happy Mardi Gras. New Orleans is a little feeling a little sluggish today, but we're going to get it.
Yeah, a little slow.
Yeah. A little foggy. So we got the intern competition next week. Looking forward to that. Big news, obviously, here in New Orleans. It's a little late now because it's been like probably over a week or something like that. But since our last show, Drew Brees comes out, said he's returning. No doubt. I guess they have to work out some, contract, decide how much to pay him, how much he's going to take. I don't know if he's going to take a hometown discount or try and get a big time last payday here. We'll see what happens with that. Obviously, for me, we've talked a lot about it, Webb. I kind of said that I was thinking Brees would step down. Obviously, I was wrong with that. I thought Taysom Hill would be taking over. Looks like Brees is going to stick around for a little while. For me, I'm okay with that. It's kind of like a security blanket. You can't, still have one of the top quarterbacks in the league. Maybe not top five anymore, but certainly top 10, certainly top half. You have Drew Brees back there. You don't have to worry about the quarterback position, if you ask me.
Saints ain't going nowhere with Drew Brees, so that don't matter. He play, don't play. Saints, what you said last year is going to be even truer this year. They got everything. They're not going to win 11 games or 12 games again this year. So you're just prolonging the agony. You need to tear that Band-Aid off. I don't know if Taysom Hill is the answer. I'm shocked to see what we were talking about when we saw that Bridgewater is going to be looking at a $30 million deal. I was shocked to see that. But I don't know. That's a bad, an atypically bad decision for the Saints to bring Brees back, I think.
Well, let me ask you this. As a Cowboy fan, okay?
Right. It's a not-do-it so, with the Saints.
I'm gonna bring up something here. You said, oh, the Saints should move on. Don't worry. So the Saints have had some three heartbreaking losses in the last three years and, I think you can say a successful regular season, gone into the play, made a run into the playoffs. We're in the conversation all year long as far as who's maybe got that chance to win the Super Bowl. What seasons would you rather have? Would you rather have Dallas Cowboy seasons where you suck every year and by midway through the season's over? Or would you rather be a team that's in the conversation?
When was that season?
Every year. The Cowboys are never in the conversation.
Game. We were to the last week of the season. We could have made the playoffs.
Barely by the hair, you chinny chin
so
chin.
What? So what? We're still it's still relevant. It's
but
still,
they're not relevant. When was the last time they won a playoff game?
You were there. How about that?
Yeah, that was a long ass time ago. That was against the Lions at home. What was that? 5 years ago.
No, did Prescott? No, Prescott won a playoff game. So it's been within 3 years. So. What would you rather be?
I would rather be in a conversation. I would rather my season tickets. I'm showing up to games and they mean something. I would rather go to a playoff game.
Every game was meaningful. So what you're saying is incorrect. That's all.
Yeah, but that's only coming from a Cowboy fan. Listen, game nine of the regular season isn't meaningful. Playoffs are meaningful. Playoff games are mean. I would rather be the team that gets a game away from the Super Bowl or a team that gets a game away from the championship.
Your regular season games matter. Yes. So up until week 16 or 17, the Cowboys were in the playoff hunt. They tied technically with the.
All right. Well, you're taking my words a little too literally. Would you rather have a team in the playoffs in a big playoff game? Get to go to a playoff game? Right.
Well, listen, man. Because you're sensitive about fucking Drew Brees, don't bring it out on me, man. That's all. You'll see.
I'm trying to say, I would rather have
damn, Webb, you was right.
Over the last three or four seasons, I would rather have the last game of the season have my heart ripped out of my body than to have my team at the end of the regular season be like, oh shit, we're not in the playoffs. So I guess I'll start moving on from here.
Well, get things worked out for you. Good.
All right, motherfucker.
There you go. Good job, what you wish for.
All right. Well, I'm just saying, I would rather have the Saints seasons the last 4 years over the Cowboys seasons. No doubt. So I would take that again.
That's silly.
Why wouldn't you?
Of course. That's like saying I'd rather have. Would you rather have the Patriots or whoever?
Yeah, but you're like, oh, well, all you're gonna get with Drew Brees is more of the same. I would take these seasons over a Dallas Cowboys season any day.
Well, you'll see. We'll see this year what's happened with Drew Brees. That's all. That's all I'm saying, man. Maybe a little objectivity.
All right. Well, I'm telling you what's up.
All right. I'm telling you what's up. You'll come episode 7.
I mean, I wouldn't trade these seasons, these Drew Brees seasons with Dallas Cowboys seasons. I wouldn't trade that. Not even a little bit.
Whatever.
All right. I'm just saying. All right. Let's move on. We'll move on. So my boy LSU man, Joe Brady, NFL Combine coming up, exciting time. I guess in off season you just look at all these little things. There'll be that little free agent period. They'll have the Combine, the draft obviously coming up in about a month. Joe Burrow, it's funny, man. These guys are like – they treat them like pieces of meat. You know, they're standing there and they're jumping and running and getting on a scale and measuring every, you know, everything from his schlong to his the size of his feet. And, so it turns out Joe Burrow's got like real small hands, like nine inch hands.
Yeah.
And it's like the smallest.
Supposedly that's a big deal. That's what they said. They said the same thing about, we just talked about it before. What's his name on the Rams?
Jared Goff.
He had small hands. Yeah, Jared Goff. But I don't know if that's contributing to his suckiness or not. I mean, I don't think anyone fumbles more than, Dickie Dimes and then, Wentz, and they weren't, you didn't hear that knock on them. And your boy Breeze got tiny hands too, and he did that little soliloquy last year about how he held the ball. So I don't put too much stock. It's just listen, we're struggling to find shit to say. So this is saying there's no news going on right now. So you got to put some story about the fucking number one pick. And now they're even trying to stir the pot, saying that he shouldn't play or doesn't want to play for Cincinnati. And the dude, like, he never said that. Like, it's just completely.
He said today, I think I'll play anywhere, whoever picks me.
Right. It's some completely fabricated, some yellow muckraking jersey just to get something going. I don't know. I don't think there's any doubt he's not going to go number one. And then even the Redskins have number two. They said they might not even be able to pass on a quarterback. And then even I think the Lions are three, and they're saying they could potentially take a quarterback. So that's getting real interesting. And then Tua came out, and who does Tua want to play for? Of course, the Dallas Cowboys. Who else would he want to play
for? Oh, everybody wants to play for the Dallas Cowboys. It's funny so many people want to play for the Dallas Cowboys. I haven't won since I was a kid.
America's team, baby.
America's team.
But that's going to trade Prescott the only way, which would be that's the dream of all dreams.
So would you welcome Tua with open arms?
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
You don't think he's broken, man? He's had a lot of injuries in just seasons at Alabama. Like, this dude gets hurt playing against, Mrs. Ole Miss. This dude gets hurt.
My chance. Yeah, all right. My chance.
All right. Big news this week. For the fellows web, the guys trip 2020 has been planned.
Auburn at
Georgia.
70,000 text messages. Yeah, I got it.
The guys get fired up about this, man. The group text gets going.
It's only 7 years from now.
Yeah, the group text gets going. It's a good time. So the Georgia,
the seventh circle.
Auburn at Georgia. So we're looking forward to that. More news about this thing. You know, we kind of talked about the Major League Baseball, the cheating scandal. And it would kind of go away as it get closer to the season. It seems to be getting worse. Like, LeBron has chimed in.
Everybody
has got an opinion about this. They showed some videos.
I think President Trump, Donald Trump, even said some shit about it.
I'm surprised if he wouldn't. He says something about everything else.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure it's America's game. So
right.
America's pastime. And then I saw there were some videos of the Astros training camp the other day. And they had people that had like signs saying cheaters and stuff like that. And people in the Astros organization were going down taking the signs from people. These guys, they're cheating. They're just stealing signs.
They're stealing signs in the stands.
They're
literally stealing signs now. They even taking freedom of speech. Yeah, I think even Altuve saw some chin music in the Cactus
League. Preseason.
So, again, I didn't realize this was the – we kind of thought it would – we were definitely anti – but I guess we didn't realize the scope of this, how personally and how big of a wound this was, I guess, obviously. And everyone's talking, even I was talking to Nick Perrone, he said they should just vacate the title. They should just say they didn't win. There was no winner, in 2017 or whatever it was.
Yeah. I don't know how you do that. You still ran off the field and jumped on each other and got the trophy. And I mean, at this point, it's just a record book thing to put an asterisk next to it or something like that.
Correct. Correct. Yeah.
It doesn't mean shit. They know they won the game. Don't matter. I mean, come on.
Like with Reggie Bush, you take away the
Heisman
or whatever they did in college basketball, whatever they do, they vacate the titles, whatever. Right. Okay. So good. Now what?
Yeah. Doesn't mean shit.
Right.
So
it's going to be interesting though. I mean, what happens with them moving forward? I mean, is this going to be drama, every series, every first game of every series? Is somebody going to get plunked or what's going to go out? I mean, is it going to be protesters? So it's weird.
Well, I saw there was even an over under somebody's sports books put on on how many times they're going to get plunked this year to Astros. It was like over under 83 or something like that, which is about half the game, every other game.
Yeah, right. Damn.
Every other game, somebody got plunked. But I saw I think Scott Wheatley brought it up the other day that, that last year, I think the team with the most was in the mid 60s, if I'm not mistaken. So to throw an extra 10, 12 games in there is probably not that big of a deal for the Astros, would be, they're getting plunked.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting.
All right. So, Webb, the XFL seems to be doing pretty good. Have you been watching any of that?
I throw it on a little bit. I don't watch too much, but the team here, it's the running joke right here is that Matt McGloin, like it's every day. It's like a game show with this dude. And he has some ridiculous quote, like either like cursing his coach or saying he sucks or the receiver sucks. So I do throw it on. I've been betting on it. So why not? And, you know, it just goes to show you America loves its football and gambling. So, and I think they were smart about it. And there's good, you'll see some guys moving up. They're talking about even the Cowboys bringing one of the Renegades, the Dallas team's tight end, into camp. Just gonna need a tight end. A guy has like 300-yard games or 200-yard games and 6 touchdowns or something like that. He's like 6'8". So it's interesting to see. You always get those kind of outlier those guys that kind of break in. So yeah, I mean, I'm a fan. Why not? Fuck it.
Right. I'm enjoying it. Like you mentioned before, we were talking about last week a way to make baseball more relevant and make baseball more popular would be to enhance the gambling and all aspects of it, the in-game play and in-game gambling. That's what XFL has been doing really good. Like they'll be having analysts and they'll just ask the dude, like, do you think, like, he'll give it his whole analysis and like, well, do you think they'll win or just cover?
Right.
And you know what I mean? And he said, oh, like, I like them plus the 7 is what the guy got. Like, I'm listening to them. Like NFL, they've never done this. You know, they've always shied away from doing that kind of stuff.
It was a big elephant in the room. You can't talk about it.
Right. Man. Right here, they put it up right up on the, like, with the score on the TV screen. It'll say -7 and over under 52 or whatever. Yep. So even at halftime, they'll talk about the second half lines and stuff like that. So it's pretty fun to watch. Speaking about McGloin, so he's up in there in New York. So the game we watched last week, he got hurt this past weekend, but game he played the week before was the one just going into halftime. Yeah, he basically the game's really cool because they have sideline reporters and locker room reporters, and they literally, like, the dude will come off the field and throw an interception and they'll get right in the face and be like, oh, what happened on the interception right there? So there's no time, you know, in the NFL, we've always seen guys have time to cool down and do that post game press conference and things like that. So they asked McGloin right coming off the halftime. They had 0 points. He was getting ass kicked, a couple interceptions. He's like, we got to scrap this whole offensive playbook. This is the worst I've ever seen, I've ever been a part of, worst game plan ever I've been a part of. We're going to scrap the whole playbook. So then he runs off to the locker room. The reporter tells the coach what McGloin just says. And he's like, well, I don't know about all that, but he's got to play a lot better and shit. So you know, who knows what happened in halftime of that. McGloin comes out in the second half and throws a pick six on the first play of the second half. And then he gets benched the rest of the game. So then McGloin, he got to start again last week, but he got hurt early on, and New York just got their ass beat. But it's kind of fun.
It's fun too. I saw one of these big linebackers came off. He was on, it might have been a kick return. I don't know. He goes, this motherfucker hit me so hard. He said it right to the sideline report. It was great. It was like, you know, it was like he was breathing heavy. He was like, kind of like, it's a big sweaty white dude, long scraggly hair, had eye black running down. He just got his bell rung and he got this bitch asking him what's going on. Like, this motherfucker just knocked a snot out of me. What do you think just happened?
Yeah. How you feeling right now?
Right. Right?
Not too hot.
Thanks for letting me get up at least.
Yeah, it's cool. And you can listen to the coaches. Like, they'll have them live mic'd, call on the plays and everything else. And they have, helmets in all the players, I believe, all the players' helmets, not just, microphones in all the players' helmets, not just the quarterback. So they can call the play right there and the teams get lined up. And so, you know, the receiver can hear the play and everything else. So.
One thing too, I mean, it does show players McGloin in a bad light, but even Cordell Jones, like talking to him, like what he said, when he come off the field, they've asked him, and he sounded like intelligent and lucid, like breaking down the play. He's playing probably as best as anybody in the league, but he's done, at least in my opinion, done himself well just in terms of his intelligence and his approach to everything. So I you know, who knows what that's worth, but you know.
And I have a confession to make. I know how you feel about these things. Remember, we had, Hold DeMayo was on here a little while ago. It was a podcast and everything. Devin Snow. And he started a little fantasy football, a little XFL fantasy football league. And I'm in the XFL fantasy football league. Oh, so we just kind of got it started. My team's not doing too hot, but it's hard to keep track of these players, and we're learning new players and stuff.
Yeah,
like that,
right.
So
yeah,
we'll see how it goes. But I figured I'd confess that I'm in on a XFL fantasy football league, so we'll see how
it gets worse and worse.
We'll see how that.
Well, I mean that's another legitimizer, I guess, for the league right there.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, that's why the NFL is, there's no doubt why the NFL is so popular. It's the easiest sport to bet on, you know, the most readily gambled on sport, and fantasy football is just exponentially throwing the ratings higher and everything else.
There's a bunch of different people involved in it. Yeah, I mean, it's not my thing, but when we grew up, man, it did Asbury Park Press headlines in the papers. So that's
right.
I mean, that's when all this shit started. So it's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. The proof is in the pudding. Obviously, there's a second league that's gonna, looks like it's, you know, having some success.
Yep. So all right. So yeah, I've been enjoying it. I'm gonna say I gotta enjoy some of those extra point rules and some of the different things they're doing. The kickoffs they got kind of weird.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. If they're really trying to eliminate the 40-yard run and collision, I mean, you can do it in that way, and it doesn't lose the play. You don't lose the play. There's still something going on. I think they had their first. Yeah. Like I think they had their first kickoff run back this past weekend.
They did it on
reverse.
NFL would be smart to do that. That's a PC thing to do, kind of eliminate some of that CTE shit. So, that's the one. The other thing, the 1, 2, and 3 points, I'm still, jury's still out on that for me, but I do like the kickoff rule.
Yeah. Speaking of the NFL and the rules and the safety rules and regulations and everything, so the NFL is in their collective bargaining going on right now. So the owners are passing some things through and got to get checked out by the Players Association and everything. They're talking about possibly going to a 17th game.
Yeah.
I don't know how that work right now. It kind of balances out where you play the certain divisions every, you know, you play your division teams and you play the certain divisions, on the other side for the year. And, they're also talking about maybe adding an extra playoff team where just maybe one team would get a bye week. And
it was two, right? I thought it would go.
Well, I think one from each league is what I was thinking.
Right. Okay. So it went from 12 to 14 total. That's what it was. Yeah. Okay.
Right. I think they would have just the number one seed would get a bye and everybody else would just be playing all the time. So I don't know. You know, speaking of, you know, they say they want to make it safer and everything. I don't know how many is 17 games is going to do that or if the players are going to agree to it, but we'll see.
Well, they've taken away a preseason game. Right. Not that those guys would play that, but so I guess somehow that mitigates it a little bit. And you know, you'll see more injury reports for sure. I would assume. I don't know, and I don't know how I feel about that number one seed only getting a bye. I mean, that's a huge kind of advantage. But maybe, you know, that will put obviously a ton of weight on a regular season, so maybe that's a good thing. But I guess you got to see if it's, you know, 5 years down the road, is it every 5 years, you know, two number one seeds battling? And I don't know if that's, you know, they want that either.
Right.
So
you still want people to have a chance in the playoffs without one team having a huge advantage, but we'll see how it turns out. I think they'd have to, they should probably expand the rosters a little bit, man. Teams, I think they have a 53 man roster right now, but then five or eight guys or something like that don't even suit up on game day. So it's,
I think it's 46, right? 53 and then 46 suit or something. And then there's only 10 man practice squad after that.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that would definitely be.
Why not just put them all on the active roster? And who can, I mean, at this point, the way the NFL is, man, you know, they talk about like starters and really there's nobody that's not a starter in the NFL. If you're on a roster, everybody plays, dude, whether it's special, you know, other than the backup quarterback, maybe everybody on that sideline gets in the game. You only go into a game with a few backup linemen, few backup defensive linemen, everything. Right. You know, you got a couple extra safeties. That's why you see teams midway through the third quarter, they're all of a sudden you're like, why is this team playing with three tight ends? Well, they had two wide receivers go out. They only got five, you know, five on a roster or something like that. Every player in the NFL, if you're on a roster, you're playing. You know, there's no like, you might not be on the first play of the down, first play of the game, but everybody plays.
I saw something today too, Smith, I don't know if this is just a little, you know, gamesmanship, but they say it's a real possibility that Brady goes to Tennessee.
Wow.
It's based on his relationship with Vrabel.
And
the disrespect he feels from, I guess not disrespect. I don't know if that's right. Just the lack of, you know, just kind of throwing him out there after he's taken the home down discount. He's got to win the game, you know, completely by himself, certainly on offense.
Never gets any help on offense.
Right. So that's interesting. I would love to see it. I would like to, you know, see what he would do. You know, he's got, you know, his success is unquestionable. I'd like to see what he would do. I'd like to see, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing the Texans be the team in the, excuse me, the Titans be the team in the AFC. Maybe that would even challenge, you know, slow down Mahomes a little bit. So
he probably wouldn't mind turning around the handing the ball off to Derrick Henry 20 times a game either.
That'd be
pretty
nice. That'd be right. Yeah, right. That's that would be something different. And then they do have, I guess those receivers were good. The kid, I don't know what.
Oh, they had that rookie this year, and they have a tight end that's like real good, number 84, and then they got that rookie like might be number 11 or 14 or something like that on outside. That's really good. Yeah. And Vrabel, this team's been good. Tennessee.
Right. They're always solid. They could definitely, you know, that division, they could kind of, you know, next thing you know, he's got 10, 11 wins again. Right. He's got a home.
Yeah. He's moving to another Jets type of division.
Right. Andrew Luck quits out of, you know, so that he lucks into that or whatever. So that's, I'd like to see it just to see what would happen to New England. And they've had, you know, enough success. I'm glad I don't get to spend any time up there. I'm sure that's insufferable, to deal with Patriot fans.
Cause you can't really argue with them. You have no argument. No team's got an argument. You know, you get on them because like, oh man, fuck you guys, you this and that. You deflate balls. You do this, do that. But basically, every football fan would trade their team's success record with the New England Patriots in a heartbeat.
Anything, yeah, for sure.
And so you really have no comeback to them when they say, well, look, we just win.
I don't know. We win. What are you talking shit?
We kick your ass.
Right.
So it was funny. I was talking to a Patriots fan actually the other day, and he was saying, well, dude, why would Brady ever leave? Why would he leave this? But to me, the dudes that are like the greatest, you know, the greatest, they're not really motivated. They're motivated by challenging themselves. You know, so I think after being with New England in the same situation, and there's always been that like Belichick Brady. I'm sure he feels like he would like to go off by himself and prove something. I bet Belichick probably feels the same way. I think there's probably times Belichick is probably sitting there going, you know what? If we get rid of this motherfucker, I'm still winning. Right, I don't care. Right, you know what I mean?
Right. He's going to retire. So I'm going to last him one way or the other.
Right. I'm going to stay here and I'm going to win without him. And then people will stop saying, oh, it's always Brady. Right. These guys all have egos. And the minute, don't even think for a second that doesn't take part of it. And, but certainly they set out to prove, you know, this is what makes the great people really great is they're always looking to prove something.
Always that motivation. They manufacture it. They create it when it's, you know, absolutely 100%. And it's, you know, well, Belichick, they didn't win the year that Brady got hurt, that Matt Castle year. I think they went 11-5. They didn't win the Super Bowl. I'm fairly certain, but yeah.
No, but they had a good season and even
won the division. And
who was, you know, who came in for him?
Matt Castle.
Yeah. Matt Castle played pretty well.
Yeah, right. 11 wins. You know,
it probably got him a contract somewhere else the following year.
Yeah, I think he was even in the league last season.
All right. So we're looking forward to the intern competition. We're going to start working on that, get the questions ready. If anybody's got, I'm going to probably set it up like, so for those that don't know, like Lynch and I lived together for a time in college. Nick Perrone's a buddy of yours, from up there in New Jersey. Even Chad Arnold, down here in New Orleans. I've been knowing him for quite some time and his family. And, so we're going to make sure I'm not asking softball questions to people. You know what I mean? Obviously, there's going to be some things Lynch might know about you and I that other guys won't know unless we try to keep it to where they have to have listened to the show to know.
Yeah,
know the answers
show,
to the questions.
Based,
like obviously, yes, right, yes. Right, right.
It's all so, wager makers, right? Wager makers knowledge,
right? Like I'm not going to ask, you know, Chad what his wife's name is because she was a special guest on the show, but I might ask Nick or Mike that right, you know right, that Kelly right, that Kelly right. was on the that Kelly was on the show
right.
As a special guest, right. Or that we might say that I think the first time that we did the numbered podcast was when we did number 22 and Webb all of a sudden said Emmett Smith. That might be something that could be on there. So, but all kinds of stuff like that. What's our nickname for Anthony Davis?
Yeah,
things like that. We got all kinds of stuff like
that. Right. There's plenty of content.
I'm gonna go back over my notes and go back over the shows, and we're gonna come up.
I got my notebook right here. Yeah.
So that's gonna be a fun show. Fun show for next week. Again, apologize to everybody. And then next week that'll be. I'm leaving for Vegas the day after that, so that'll be fun. We can. Win Colin and Brad some money out there in Vegas, teach them a thing or two. And then in a couple weeks, I think college basketball will be hitting the conference tournament soon.
We'll do a whole bracket show. Yeah, we'll do a whole brackets March Madness. Best time. Well, one of the best times of year.
No doubt.
Springtime's here. No doubt. College hoop heats up. Then baseball is right around the corner. We have NBA playoffs and then the draft, all the good stuff. Plenty of stuff going on.
Did you catch any of that Lakers, Pelicans game last night? I was kind of out of the box yesterday by that time, but
just back and forth. I didn't catch the end. But that's, I mean, your boy, he's looking good, man.
Dude, he's the real deal. He is so the real deal. I can't even emphasize enough that dude can play ball.
But I tell you what, and you know, your boy LB's, he got hurt again last night. He was with the Saints for 7 seasons.
Oh, the Pels, yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's what I'm saying. You're supposed to be one series. Like you're supposed to be the man,
right? You're and top you, five
like,
players
in a league where there's 5 dudes on the court, and you're right. Supposed to be like in the top 5 players in the league. And in 7 years, you win one playoff series.
Right, and it's not that hard to make the playoff. You're 500, you get the 8 seed.
Right. Right.
I heard that today too. I was like, oof.
I'll tell you, it's still a long ride, but man, I would love to see the Pelicans get that 8 seed. I would love it. They're close.
They're behind, Memphis. I think, Portland, and Dame Lillard is out, so they're going to fall. I mean, I think they'll get, actually, that's for the 9th. I think the Pelicans are in 10th right now, right?
Yeah, Memphis is the team in the spot right now, but right. Memphis lost tonight. That was a tough loss for the Pelicans last night because every game is a playoff game for them right now, but they're about 4 games back of Memphis with about 20-some games, maybe 30 games left to go, but there's still time. But they got to go 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10 the rest of the way. It's hard to make up 4 games in the NBA.
Yeah, and that was, so. I mean, at the end, the block on Lonzo Ball was crazy. The point guard, that was an incredible block. And then LeBron with the dream shake. I mean, the LeBron at this point, you can talk about that. There's a guy that's motivated, especially not making the playoffs last year. It's probably the biggest motivator. And then Kawhi kind of orchestrating his thing to get Paul George just into the same building. So it's interesting. And the desperation, I guess, for the Clippers. The only way the Clippers are ever going to not be a redheaded stepchild is to beat the Lakers. So they're rooting for the Lakers. You know, it's got to be a conference final Lakers Clippers for the Clippers to have any, you know, to be relevant even out there in LA. So that's going to be interesting. And then, you know, the Bucks, Giannis is just crushing.
Unbelievable. The Greek Freak is a madman.
They won, I think it's 50 games already. It's great. I think it's like they're 50-8.
They dominate the East. There's
no one. Yeah, there's no one. That's even, I don't even know who's it to. Celtics, maybe? Embiid got hurt again, and Simmons is hurt for the Sixers. They suck anyway. And then I guess who's next? Maybe the Heat and the Celtics, and that's a big drop off. So it's who's going to play. It's interesting though, because all you hear is the Lakers or Clippers are going to win the title, and I wonder how they feel about that in Milwaukee. So
Toronto's still up near the top, but they have no Kawhi. You know, Kawhi Leonard was the guy that got them the tough buckets down a stretch last year when they really needed it. I guess they're still one of the best in the East, but that's not. They're 8 games back in Milwaukee.
Yes, Siakam's a player. The coach is great. They have a great nucleus, and once you win a championship, you kind of learn what needs to be done, and they're obviously real good, but. They just beat them. They just lost at home last night to the Bucks. They ain't beating the Bucks.
So I'm looking forward to it. Like, man, if the Pels could slip into that 8 spot and play the Lakers, that would be an interesting story down here to play. Obviously, I'm not saying they're going to knock off the Lakers, but that would be a fun series to watch, I think, at this point, especially if they played well enough down the stretch. Like, this team's getting better every day. They're getting better every day. I just don't know if they're going to have enough by the time it's all said and done. But man, they're playing good. They're fun to watch. Fun to watch. Brandon Ingram and Drew Holiday and Hart, kid from Villanova, Zion is fun to watch. That's all I can say.
And they're set up nicely. I mean, yeah, next year could be everyone's going to be another year older, LeBron specifically. So to see, and they'll be young. All these other guys are doing their load management. These guys they're in a nice spot. So I'm glad to see that.
Yep. Yeah. So it really worked out. The AD thing really worked out good and the Pelicans are loaded with draft picks and everything else for the next few years because all these trades they made and everything.
Yep.
So we'll see how it works out. Just got to keep Zion healthy. That's the main.
Well, that's right. That's the one thing. That's the whole. I told you. I hear some of the guys, the insiders, talk about torque. He creates so much torque. So right. That's
Sneaker. I think he's got to lose some weight because he's so explosive.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to take a little whatever
He's got to land.
You know, pressure off of his joints that
right,
he can. You
right,
know?
Right. He's got to come down once he takes
right,
off.
Right. So, all right. Well, do you got anything else we want to talk about this week? We're going to get revved up for the next show. It's going to be a big one. We're going to have the intern competition. And that's going to be a good
intern competition's
time.
Big. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited. Nah, we're good, man. Whatever. I'm good.
All right. John Groh, thank you for the bumper music, iHeartRadio, YouTube. Devin's going to tell you about YouTube.
Hi, this is Devin Weber. When you go on the Wager Makers podcast webpage, make sure to subscribe, hit the like button, and hit the bell to put on your post notifications. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Devin. And Google Play Music, Apple Podbean, Apple Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. Don't forget to check us out on sportswatchmonitor.com. We'll have more horse racing tips from Scott Wheatley coming up soon. And thank you all for listening. Thank you for being patient with us through Mardi Gras. We'll be back. We're back in action and ready to go. College football, college basketball playoffs, NFL Combine. We got a lot of stuff coming up. So, Webb, take us on out.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Brick by brick. A lot of good content coming up. And a big show next week. Thanks again.